I can't help but wonder if it was a white man's business, if it would already be on the agenda and we'd already be discussing it. In 2023, it's ridiculous we have to have this conversation, but it comes down to money. Is the black dollar worth the same as the white dollar?
As I said at the time, I thought that question and that way of interpreting things for the downtown bar casting flights was over the top, out of line, and not on target when you're talking about either the former administration or the current administration. But you had a bunch of people show up upset about their business and the business that they love patronizing. This is actually the marketing director for the business, but, not being able to operate properly because of certain restrictions on the number of bars you can have in a block, not counting the corners on one side of the street. I mean, all these weird rules. And so DC Reeves, the got the song in my head, sorry. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's start there. They were upset, even though I think Don Crayer or somebody had mentioned that there was going to be on the upcoming city meeting this month. We'd be talking about this, but I know you've been working on this. Have you guys come to any kind of a solution that will work for casks and flights?
Yeah, and I'll give a quick background. Obviously, this has been talked about for a few months, and this is really an evolution of some ambiguity around state law and liquor licenses, and certainly I will speak for the previous administration and this one that, race playing any role in this, of course, is an outrageous claim. And really, and honestly, I think John, the owner of Castle Blights, would tell you that, given our history knowing that, how much I want to support businesses of any kind here in the city, that, we want to do what's best. And we also have rules that are on the books that we have to follow. And so, I think there's a little bit of blame to go around, from the business to the city to just ambiguity in state law and some things like that, that I don't think anybody at any point had this intent in mind. When you change your use of your business to go from, making wine to becoming a bar, that changes a lot, trips up a lot of different things. And I think John would tell you that. And then also, the city was very well intended during COVID to allow a little bit of an outlier use for that business that was a little ambiguous. We didn't really have, and why did we do that? Because that was a very difficult time for bars and restaurants. And as you well know, as we've said, right, exactly. And so, there were a lot of cities and communities kind of giving out exceptions to the rule, for a temporary time. So these businesses and these employees had jobs and bars and restaurants survived, right? So very well intended, across the board. So here's where we're at. We looked at it more and more in our planning department, and Sherry and Leslie spent a lot of time on this. And what we decided that would be a good update, we think, for the city is how we define a restaurant. And what I mean is right now, as it sits in the city, we define a restaurant the same way that what's called an SRX license defines a restaurant. The important point here, without getting into all the details, is that requires you to have 151 seats. So one of the big trip ups, not only with Cask and Flights, but you think about when you go to New Orleans or tons of other cities, you could have a restaurant that serves liquor that has 35 seats or 40. It's not required that it be 151.
Sure.
And if you're in this business, that's a pretty sizable place. So we have just always flown under the wing of what was defined as an SRX restaurant that could serve liquor without a 4COP license. And we don't really need to do that. We can say, hey, look, if you want to buy what's now market rate for a 4COP license could be $300,000 to $400,000 now in Escambia County. If you want to buy and invest in one of those, should we have to also hold you to the fact that you have to have 151 seats as well? Is that good for entrepreneurship? Is that good for small business that you have to buy a place of that size or lease a place of that size to be able to help you be successful? So, obviously that's a rule that we wouldn't be making one change for that only helps one business. That's trying to really help our small business community evolve here. We heard a lot about the rule, one bar per block. There's ambiguity around that. I don't know that I want to try to fix an ambiguous rule. Let's try to have clarity And I think that's the direction that we're going to be going this month.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing the exact proposal. But, you know, I know it had been said to the people who were showing up at the public forum last time that this would be coming on the agenda. It's good to see that we're finally going to have some kind of a solution. And I know your heart is to, you know, preserve local business as much as we possibly can. And, you know, let's see if we can't make this work for everybody. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is maybe this is a small thing and maybe it's new to me, but I noticed it the other day and I wanted to ask you. You know, the city of Gulf Breeze is borrowing the boat ramp parking structure, the, you know, infrastructure that used for collecting fees for their boat ramp at their main boat ramp. But I didn't realize that there was had been implemented at Bayview Park that there's paid parking there. And maybe it's been a while and I just didn't notice, but I was walking there the other day. Is that a new thing or has that been in place for a while?
It has been in place as long as I've been in this position. I don't know how long before that.
Okay.
But, you know, it's you know, an honor system thing,
yeah,
at the boat ramp. I don't know what kind of, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure exactly what kind of revenue or enforcement, you know, that we have there. We've been really focused from a boat ramp standpoint. We've been really focused on getting some improvement, much needed improvement done. There's a dock broken at right there at East Pensacola Heights at Cervantes Bayou that, mm-hmm, has been in disrepair for a while. That should be done by the end of Memorial Day. And, you know, I drive by it every morning. Taking Caroline to school is trying to start really eyeing some improvements at Wayside, you know, and the way it looks right there by the graffiti bridge. So we're not just focused on trucks there. We got to get that looking a little bit better as well. So yes, that is been on the books. You know, for you to be able to launch your boat, you have to have, you know, a permit with us. So, but yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long that's been in place.
Meanwhile, we've got new kiosks with Blue Angels imagery downtown, right? As part of the push to make it easier, friendlier, cooler.
Yeah, and really more so, it was focused around the text to pay. The Blue Angels, you'll see those pillars now that are going around those parking machines, if that's what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
We've we've had a lot of conversation really in these last couple of weeks, about the future of parking in the downtown experience and that we all have ownership in it. And, you know, I've met with some of the private lot owners to try to come to some amicable solution, just knowing that where we are today is not where we need to be. I mean, it just isn't. We private lots, talk about ambiguity. That's been the theme,
right,
of the call today, this morning, I guess. You know, who owns what? Who's booting what? You know, I try to tell everybody the city does not own a boot in parking. So, I digress. But point is, we've got to get to a better place in terms of what it is to park. Not just on costs or anything like that. It's just the experience for our residents.
It is such a discouragement for people. It is a high negative for downtown Pensacola right now, unfortunately. But yeah, you know, I'm glad you're working on it. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we're just watching this one accident. It's Mobile and Fairfield. Busy intersection. Doesn't look backed up. It's right near the Home Depot. Now, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. All right, the only thing that anybody in the city really cares about, have you settled on names for the street sweepers yet?
No, not yet. We've got, I think it's open through the end, maybe the 14th.
Okay.
I'm going off memory, but I knew at last count, which was, you know, I was in Tallahassee earlier this week. I just got back last night, but I haven't gotten a recent check, but I know we were at about 600 entries times three. So there's three names on each. So we're somewhere in the ballpark of 1,800 submissions. So if you guys have some extra set of hands over there, News Radio, just let me know. We got a lot of names to get through. So
I hear one of the front runners might be Kevin, but then my source on this was Assistant Police Chief Kevin Christman. So I could be wrong. Wrong about that.
Yeah, it was weird. We got like 30 submissions from his email. I don't know why that was.
Nice. Nicely done.
I don't know. I'm partial. I do. It's been hard to beat Lightning McQueen, and I know I have a kid. But
yeah,
as long as
the paint scheme goes along, that'd be awesome with the lightning bolt and everything on the side. Ka-chow!
Exactly.
One of the other things, this is going to come up on next week's agenda, but I just looked at it this morning and I was caught off guard a little bit. Jared Moore is bringing a presentation, I guess, from some kids who want the Mardi Gras to use biodegradable beads. It's called a sustainable Mardi Gras plan. They say it would be no additional cost, but it would solve the problem of beads getting in the trees and the gutters and all of that kind of stuff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, look, I love that stuff. When I was in Tallahassee, coincidentally, we had our youth council from the city of Pensacola down there, you know, for a couple days to with Florida League of Cities, and I was able to talk with them before I hit the road yesterday. You know, and this is another group of young people that are passionate about helping our community, which, you know, I love seeing that stuff, you know, not only as a father, but as a Pensacolian, you know, to see kids passionate about, you know, something that you know, could be a positive for us. So, you know, hey, we go through a lot of beads, you know, and they're probably right. You know, there'd be a big impact. So I'm looking forward to hearing it as much as anybody. You know, I haven't heard it yet, but we will next week. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I do want to give you kudos. You performed an April Fool's Day post talking about there being a Trader Joe's coming to town and being a mile south of City Hall and being in the water.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people were very happy and then very unhappy at the same time. Just to be clear, the barge and or floating grocery cart is not actually going to be in use for a not actually coming Trader Joe's. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never say never, you know. There's a lot of research in, you know, in the marine sciences that, you know, but at this time, I probably couldn't confirm that we're going to have a floating Trader Joe's. But, you know, I was going to tell you what my other one was going to be, but maybe it's far enough. No, I'll say
you want to save it for next year?
It's St. Augustine related, I'll just say.
Okay, which is completely out of character for you, Mr. T-shirt maker.
Hey, I'm totally in.
You know,
right, exactly.
If for those who don't remember, Perfect Plane had the T-shirts. The number one,
yes.
Pensacola, number two, St. Augustine. So, all right, we always like to end on a little bit of a lightning round. First question for you, Mr. Mayor, do you eat raw dough or batter when things are being cooked?
Yes, I mean, I have to. I blame it on Caroline, you know, making pancakes or whatever, but yes, I do.
All right.
That's unhealthy, isn't it?
Well, you know, they say, but, you know, everything's unhealthy, right?
Yeah.
Is there a favorite childhood toy from DC's past?
Man, we had a ton of Ninja Turtles, you know, around.
Who was your favorite?
Yeah. I think Michelangelo.
All right.
My favorite, but yeah, we had a treasure trove of, I think my mom still has them around, you know, I guess she's, pretty sentimental. I think she's got them laying around somewhere still at her house.
Of course she is. And, last one, and this one comes from Candy, by the way, this is Candy's suggestion. What does DC stand for?
Yeah, good question. Darcy Curran Reeves. And so it's, Irish
Darcy
name.
Darcy Curran, like Curren?
Yeah. Which is my mom's maiden name.
Oh, okay.
Curran, and then so DC, Jim Reeves' dad, my granddad was David Chester Reeves, went by DC. He, you know, coached city league sports around here. Was the announcer at one of the parks here, Lions Park. Way, way back in the day. And so it was a negotiation. I think DC, like my dad's dad, but an Irish name like my mom's side of the family. So, and then in college, I just told everybody it was because of Mr. Darcy, even though I hadn't read the book.
And also, I imagine a little bit of I can hide the Darcy underneath the DC, and it's acceptable a little bit that way. So, all right, fair enough. You learn something every day. Mayor Darcy Curran Reeves of Pensacola always joins us on a Wednesday. So we'll look forward to the press conference today and also, of course, talking to you next week. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.